What went wrong at one of the country's largest natural gas companies?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Shareholders of Chesapeake Energy are asking a judge to delay the company's annual meeting so they can get more information about their CEO's compensation and his personal financial interest in drilling natural gas wells. The CEO, Aubrey McClendon, is under fire for potential conflict of interest. Meanwhile, the company is in a desperate search for cash after a drop of almost 40% in its stock price this year. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us now from Oklahoma City, where the company is headquartered, with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Scott, remind us why Chesapeake Energy is in so much trouble right now.
Well, it's an inherently risky company. But with Chesapeake, the company borrowed too much money to finance its operations. It spent too much money to lease the land to drill on. And it was overweight in natural gas. It has drilled so much of that instead of other commodities like crude oil. And now prices have plummeted and they're really in trouble.
And what does this mean for the industry outside of Chesapeake Energy, if anything?
Well, it's affected the whole industry. So if you sell any product and the price plunges, everyone hurts. So all the companies are really feeling it now. But with Chesapeake, because they were so leveraged, and now there are revelations of potential conflict of interest that they have to sell off prime real estate because of this cash flow problem, now all bets are off what may happen next with the company. The folks here say they wouldn't be surprised if the CEO had to step down, and he's a legend in Oklahoma City, or the company declared bankruptcy, or if it got acquired by another company.
And are the employees there worried about this? I know you've been talking to some of them.
Most that I talked to did not, and that's the interesting thing. I went to the company campus, and it is a very, very nice place. It looks like a university campus. I mean, They're playing ultimate frisbee at lunch. And many said, you know what? I'm not too worried. There are a couple whispers that there may be a lot of layoffs coming, but by and large, they think they can ride this out.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Oklahoma City. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, now to Chicago, which is getting ready for all the world leaders who will be in town for the big NATO meeting that starts today, and for the busloads of people who will be coming into town to protest. Some will be associated with the Occupy movement, which is hoping to reignite after a quiet winter and early spring. But as Marketplace's Chrissy Clark reports from our Wealth and Poverty Desk, Occupy 2.0 might have less to do with big marches and more to do with
moments like this, when 75-year-old Beverly Roberts came to a city council meeting this week in Los Angeles. She described her 4-year fight with a bank to get a loan modification.
You know what? I'm tired. Just make them responsible and do the right thing.
Roberts was there to support a new policy called the Responsible Banking Ordinance. It will force banks doing business with LA to provide detailed information on things like how many foreclosures they do and how many loans they give, neighborhood by neighborhood. The idea is that if banks have to make that stuff public, the public can hold them accountable. City Councilman Richard Alarcón came up with the idea a few years ago, but it didn't get traction until Occupy came along.
There's no question that the Occupy movement defibrillated the ordinance.
And not just in L.A. New York City passed a similar policy this week with the help of Occupy organizers. Boston, Philadelphia, and San Diego might also push through bank transparency requirements. Without any real teeth, it's unclear whether these kinds of ordinances will make any difference in how banks do business. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, but the losses at JP Morgan Chase may be higher than previously disclosed from that risky bet, perhaps 50% higher, according to the New York Times. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 33 points to close at 12,598.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation announced this week it's joining forces with a Chinese movie distributor to gain more access to China's growing market for films. Earlier this year, DreamWorks Animation announced it had formed a joint venture with a Chinese movie studio as well. Now, these joint ventures aren't just limited to China, nor to movie studios. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now to explain. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So is this something that companies are doing more now? They're getting together with other companies and forming these joint ventures?
Well, I got curious about this when I saw GM took a 7% stake in Citroën, the European car company owned by Peugeot. And I was going, you know, I've seen this a lot. You know, it is growing, and it's growing for two major reasons. One reason is the bad economy. Credit is tight. All of us are trying to do more with less, just like workers are trying to do more with less. So are companies. And a joint venture is one way to do that.
So it's about saving money.
That's one aspect of it. The other aspect is we live in a global economy. We use that term a lot. But in this global economy, U.S. companies are moving into China, right? You set up a beachhead there. Chinese companies coming here into the U.S. You want a local partner. You know, you want a friend in the neighborhood. You want someone who kind of knows how the system works.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of American Airlines got into a big partnership with Japan Airlines, which gives them access all over Asia.
Well, when you walk into an airport, it's like partner, 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 partner.
Yeah, code share.
Yeah, lots of joint ventures.
Well, do these joint ventures end up working out? Do they last or are they just for the tough economic times?
Well, joint ventures have kind of a bad aura. And here's the thing. If you're a manager, you own a company, you're running a company, you want to acquire a company or you want to grow your own company. So the joint venture is a little bit of a compromise. However, I think there's growing realization that in this global economy, this is the way to go. And there's a lot more resources devoted to how do you manage them. But in general, after about 4, 5, 6 years, a lot of times they fizzle.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And finally, Dish Network has unveiled a new DVR feature that automatically skips TV commercials. Not surprisingly, the TV networks don't like that, so they are exacting revenge. According to the New York Times, News Corp, the parent of Fox TV, says it will not air Dish Network's advertisement that's talking all about its new feature that skips commercials. Marketplace Morning Report, I'm Jeremy Hobson in Los Angeles. This is APM, American Public Media.